Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast, the podcast about life of an entrepreneur, of an indie entrepreneur, or my life. My name is Tiago. I am the host of this show. I've been the host for the past almost, 400 episodes. And if you are one of the few that were listening to my show when I first started, if you're still there, thank you very much, and shoot me a message. I want to know if there's still people from the beginning, listening to this show. So, yeah, shoot me a message at WB Tiago. And even if you're not one of the early ones, but you just want to say hi, I always like that. So, yeah, WB Tiago on Twitter, shoot me a message. I will answer to each one of you. In today's episode, I want to share something different, to speak about something a bit different, maybe not so much related to entrepreneurship. I want to talk about politics. And I know this can be a controversial topic. And before you just hit pause on this episode, I don't want to speak about general politics and how everything is in the world. I want to speak about actually having some impact and my whole journey towards learning more about how one can affect change on their own country, community, etc. So I've been kind of playing around with those thoughts, and actually recently I decided to act on them, and I've made some posts about this. I think most of them were in Portuguese, though, in my LinkedIn. And I wanted to share now with you a little bit of this journey and the things that I've been thinking and the things that I've been learning, and maybe get as well some of your thoughts on this. So I think it's second nature to any entrepreneur to want to solve problems. And my whole life, I always had this urge to act on things that I thought were not being done properly. That's kind of how I knew that I was an entrepreneur, that this was my calling, right? So in my first job, it didn't take much until I wanted to take lead in my own projects and build my own products. The issue there was that I just didn't know enough about it. I didn't know anything really about how to build a business, how to build a product. But they gave me that chance and I took it because there was no other option. I always wanted to be building something, affecting change. Then I did the same when I was working for the next job I had, and since I've become a full-time entrepreneur, that's my life now, right? Affecting change, building products, being the captain of my own boat. So it wasn't very surprising to me when my wife and I bought our first place, and I noticed that there was a lot of problems in the building. The building was falling apart. And at first I thought that was just a matter of people couldn't organize themselves. But then I went to the first meeting and I realized that the problems were much deeper. You know, this building is like a little microcosmos of a society. It's basically a micro example of what it is to live in Portugal, like the politics and how people think in the whole country. It's not a huge country, it's only 10 million people, but still. And here we have 10 apartments, but in these 10 apartments you have everything, and it's really cool. We have people that have been here for 30, 40 years. This is an old building, a building from the 60s. There's people that have been here, like they grew up here almost, which is crazy. Then we have people from abroad, we have Americans, we have people from the UK, people from Southeast Asia, so a lot of places. And then we have people that that are Portuguese but moved in recently, like myself. So it's a mixing pot, right? There's a lot of things going on. And at the same time, it's a place where there's people that have money, people that can invest, and people that don't have money. They're unemployed, so it's hard for them to pay. And we still should move as a society. So everyone needs to pay the same based on their square footage of their own flat. So because of that, there were also old kind of disputes and people that didn't like each other and stories that I was told from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, things that happened that was somehow blocking things to advance now. So as an entrepreneur, I thought, okay, there's a problem here. I need to fix it. And it didn't even took me a long time to start actually acting on it. I realized that we were paying to a company to manage this building, that they were not doing their job. So I quickly started acting on it. And after maybe a few months, after I joined the first meeting, myself and another neighbor were becoming the administrators of this neighbors association. And it has been a very interesting challenge, definitely. And I've learned a lot and I've grew a lot as a person, as a speaker, as a leader as well, in this year and a half since I started. And there was a lot of conflict managing between people that didn't like each other. And of course, then as the administrator, you need to take a stand, and then some people will not be happy. So I started making some people, I wouldn't say enemies, but some people that wouldn't agree with certain decisions that we had to make. And I think I had already one episode where I spoke deeply about these issues and the things that we're having. But what I liked, what I appreciated, a lot of people tell me like, yeah, why do you like this so much? Like that's, and even before I started this challenge, a lot of people would tell me, don't go there. It's a nightmare. But I know that we did already a lot of things in the building, from fixing the facade, the roof, problems that were here for 10, 30 years. We were able to fix them all in 1 year. So I realized that it's actually possible. Right? You just need to have capable people motivated to fix things. And even though a lot of people told me that it was really hard, myself and the other co-administrator and the other neighbors, we were able to get things done. So this kind of gave me reinforcement, another reinforcement that we should act on the things that we think we can fix. I feel that there's like a huge problem with people not fulfilling their full potential in life because they are just discouraged before even starting. I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned since I started my entrepreneurial career is trusting myself and acting on things. And even if it seemed impossible at first, I started acting on them and learning from them and eventually reaching success on things that I've never thought it was possible. Starting a company, right? Like living out of my own projects. I never thought this was possible. But then we did one step after the other, and now we're here. This podcast that now has already more than 100K downloads, and we are reaching close to 1,000 downloads per week now. It's cool. It's just me talking, but some of you like, and it's really amazing. That's why I always ask if you could shoot me a message, because this feels like a very one-sided relationship, right? Like I'm talking and you're listening. So that's why I also like to hear from you. This gave me trust in myself. And since I started my entrepreneurship career as well, I started looking more towards politics. I moved back to Portugal. So it was already, I don't even know, 3-4 years ago. I started having more interest in politics, both national and international. And of course, we are living in kind of challenging times, but also very interesting times in terms of politics, right? Like there's a lot of things going on, a lot of forces going on. So it's a good time to be involved and to kind of understand and follow politics. So I started to also get more interested in all the ideologies. So I started to realize that based on the family you were born and your close community, that influences a lot your political ideologies. My family is more center-right, so I always had these thoughts. Center-right, entrepreneurship, you know, lower taxes, less state. But my wife, funny enough, she comes from the other side, from the left. So we had a lot of conversations, and it was really good for me to also to see the other side and realize that in the end, both sides are valid. So I started learning more about communism and socialism and the story of socialism and how it came to be and their flaws and the things that were good, the things that were bad. And the same thing with capitalism. Now, I am a capitalist, but at least now I understand why. And I think that's really important. Even though I am a capitalist, though, I think there's a lot of things that are still not, they are not good for capitalism. It's not perfect. And they should be fixed. So I started, as I'm learning more about this, as I started discussing more with my peers, with my family, with my friends about this, as I started also being more vocal on LinkedIn, for instance, about my opinions. And sometimes I do get some backlash. Some people, especially people that know me, they get upset. Like, ah, Tiago, the things that you're saying, they're not so good, you know, politic discussions can be really heated. I never had any of these very heated conversations, but people, you know, once you start having, like, standing your ground and defining what you believe, yeah, some people might get upset, and it's fine. But I enjoy this. And I, being part of Portugal, of our community, it's hard not to see that there are a lot of problems, right? So one of the biggest now at the moment is the housing pricing. And I know that it's hard everywhere, but in Portugal it's actually one of the worst in Europe. The ratio between the pricing of houses versus the paychecks, it's huge, the difference. So people here, I think, what is the last? You need 150% of your salary to pay your rent. So it's really, really hard. And being a person that has already lived abroad and returning here and knowing that there, even here in Europe, there are better life conditions, but not being able to transmit that to my peers here in Portugal, to my family, because they've never experienced this. So it's really hard for them to understand. And knowing that in Europe, Portugal is such an amazing country to live in. Like, I lived abroad, I've traveled quite a lot, especially here in Europe, and I always look to the luck we have here. We have the beautiful ocean, good weather, it's a safe country, people are nice, the food is great. Now, more than ever, the tech scene is growing, and there's people, very interesting people coming here, so it's amazing. But at the same time, you don't see that reflected in the way things are growing. So I started to think, you know, that very dangerous thought that every entrepreneur has. What if I can do better? What if the reason why things are not so well here in Portugal is because we just don't have very competent people in power? And what if I am more competent than others? And this can be very arrogant. I know it sounds arrogant, but I truly believe that not only myself, of course, but a lot of my friends and people that I know, people around me, they would be very capable. They probably could do better than what is being done. And I decided to act on it and think, okay, so I want to do something. I want to help. Like, I like this experience here in the building. It's purely volunteering, but I like the impact I have. So I want to do better. And I did a post about this as well on LinkedIn. It had already 30,000 views or something like that. And a lot of people resonated with this. A lot of people said, like, I also want to contribute. I just don't know how. So the first thing that came to my mind and people told me is like, okay, if you want to contribute, you need to get into politics. You need to get into a party. And it's not one of those fun parties where people dance and so on. No, it's an actual political party. I was like, but I've never thought about it. I don't even know if I like this idea of having one single party. I voted always in different politicians, depending on the position they were being elected to, depending on the state of the country at that moment. And it really makes me upset, people that only vote in one party, no matter what. This happens a lot. And I know that, for instance, in America, there's mainly two parties. But here in Europe, we have many parties, right? Like here in Portugal, at least we have four or five that have deputies elected. So there's a big variety, but there's people that still vote always in the same one, even if they are not good, even if they're not. It's like a football club, you know? It makes no sense, right? So for me, this idea of joining a party, that being limited to those ideologies, that I would need always to vote on those candidates. I don't need to do that. Like, it makes sense, right, as a member of that party. That was something that didn't add up. But I need to start. So I found the party here, the Liberals, which I thought it kind of resonated with my line of thinking. Not entirely, again, but, you know, it's kind of center-right or more right-wing in terms of economy and a bit more center-left or left in terms of social thinking and open and not so conservative. So I think it's a good mix for me. So I thought, okay, let me try that. I sign up. I call them. I have some friends and they told me, okay, Tiago, actually we are having a dinner party next week. If you want to join, you join. You don't need to enroll yet. You go there and you figure it out and you get to know the people. So I thought, okay, that's a great first step. I need to understand these things. I need to understand politics. I need to understand how I can affect change, right? So it was the same here with the building. I first needed to understand the logics and eventually be elected. So I need to do the same. I went to this dinner. People were very nice, so they immediately welcomed me. They introduced me to people, and it was really nice. They were really, really welcoming. And I started to understand better what they do in this kind of gatherings. Like, I had no idea, like, what is a party? Like, how does things work? So I was a bit disappointed because there was no, like, particular structure. So I got there when what I realized is that most of the people in the party, they are there more for like being part of this community where they once a month get together and discuss ideas, which is nice. Not saying it is not nice. It is nice. But does it really affect change? That we are just every month and arguing, and sometimes even inside the same party, they have different ideas. So they have a WhatsApp group where they're always exchanging messages. And I think, okay, interesting. And I asked one of the main people there, hey, tell me one thing. If I want to contribute, like I want to contribute to the party, I want to make sure that our ideas, that the ideas that you have are heard and eventually get elected, how do I start? Like, what are the positions you have for me? And in my naivete, I thought that it would be like a company, you know, a very structured company. I would get there and they would tell me, okay, Tiago, what do you want? We have tech jobs where you can help us build our apps and build our websites. We have maybe social media jobs. We have like construction jobs, whatever, like many things where you can enroll and help the party. But no, this doesn't exist. It was more like, hey, if you have any idea, you can just come up with your idea and we see if it makes sense. So I could see, and of course this is one party, there's many, and I would be curious to go to these dinners in other parties. I think that'd be very interesting. It did sound that there was, a lack of capability or interest. And I also realized one thing. When I was talking with, this was a meeting for here, like the city hall. And they were telling me that since this party was not elected, they don't have majority. They only have 3 minutes to talk. So every week they need to spend hours kind of reading everything that's going to be talked and discussed in that assembly. And then they have 3 minutes to talk. And even so they talk, like, since the others have the majority, they basically ignore their ideas because they only want the ideas to come from one single party, which is the winning party. So, and they, it's volunteering basis, basically. I think they make $50 to go there to this meeting, but the meeting is like 5 hours, right? So it doesn't pay off. So the whole system is not made to attract kind of competent people. So what I want to say is that you either go for politics, especially in this level, if you do it really from the heart, right? Like it's a volunteering basis, but you really want to help, or you go because you don't have much else to do. You either want to make some money or you just want to be heard and be there among peers, which is fine. But again, it's not really what I was looking for. I wanted to contribute more. And I know this still sounds a bit abstract. But yeah, that, like, they would give me a specific roles, a specific thing to do. So, of course, that, again, this is example of one, and maybe the others would be different. But it made me kind of start thinking that maybe politics is this. Politics is now, if I would want to make a change here, right, I would need to be in the party and maybe come up with some cool ideas and implement a few things and go to all these gatherings and start doing politics inside the party to eventually be, someone would propose me to be one of the, I don't know, deputies here in the city hall. And then I would eventually be able to give my idea, and maybe one day in 5, 6, 7 years, I would be, or even more, I don't know. This is a small party, that's why I'm being a bit more confident. But let's say in 10 years, I would maybe be the leader of the party and eventually, or leader of the party rather, for the city hall, not even countrywide, right? So, but even if it would be countrywide, eventually, if I would focus 100% in this, I think it would be possible. I don't know. If I would learn and put a lot of focus on this, and then I would be in the elections to eventually be prime minister, but it's a small party, so probably I would not win. But I would be elected, and maybe I could affect some change, like countrywide, if my party would have enough votes so that it would be relevant. So it's like maybe 10, 15 years or even more with the chance of not never being elected to affect some real change if I go through this route. And what I started to think is that, like, okay, but I don't really care. I mean, yeah, I do care about the ideas of this party, and there are some parties that I don't understand at all, or I don't follow at all those ideas, but why don't I just go to the winning party right now? They do have like some similar ideas to, and some good ideas, and I offer them my help. Like, why don't I go directly to the ones that are in power? Wouldn't this be better? And then that also started to make me think that maybe the current way of how democracy is being done is not the best, because it's really slow and it doesn't motivate people to contribute. So I've been playing around as well with this idea of like direct democracy, which is the idea. And they do something similar to this now in Switzerland, for instance, where there's these referendums and people vote 3-4 times a year in like ideas and laws and stuff like that, where you could like contribute more. And the first thing that people tell me is like, no, but people are not educated enough in a lot of topics. So it would be Like, there will be a lot of bad decisions being made. And it's maybe true, but at least people would be more interested. I've heard something really interesting recently, which was that the opposite of love is not hate, is indifference, is ignoring. And as an entrepreneur, I think you know this more better than anyone else, right? When you build your product and for the first time you think that people will hate it or love it, I don't know, but and then you're really afraid that like, oh, am I still not ready? There's still this feature and people will hate it. But then what actually happens is that no one fucking cares. I totally understand that. Like when you send a message, when you send a cold outreach and they don't even, like they totally ignore you, that hurts. That is the worst. And I think with politics is the same. Like what happens is that you start doing something, right? You want a change, right? So you're tired of the housing pricing being so expensive, for instance. And you try to doing something and you get ignored. You try again, you get ignored. And then eventually there's two things that can happen. Either you give up, or three things rather. Either you give up, or you find a way that is not legal to do it, right? You try to go around the law, which also happens a lot. Or third, you eventually go for a revolution. And a revolution doesn't need to be like getting your weapons and going and stuff like that. No, a revolution can just be voting on parties that are a bit more extremist, like what's happening now around the world, really. You feel that you have no option. Like, what else can I do? Fuck it, let's go something anti-system. Because the impact that people, normal people have in their country is very low. It's only every 4 years you can vote, and that's it. And your vote by its own, it's very, doesn't have a lot of impact, right? So it would be amazing if we could give more impact. And one of the ways of actually having impact is building a company, right? Like building a company is a way for you to actually affect change, massive change, not only countrywide, but globally, right? If it's a digital company, you can do that. So that's one way. So maybe I'm already in the right way, but then as a company, I need to make money, and to make money, I don't know, PodSqueeze is nice, but it's really affecting change, like worldwide change? I don't think so, right? So sometimes the things that actually affect change, the great ideas, they don't make money. So what I can do as well, things that I'm thinking on pursuing, is maybe like an ONG, like doing some kind of organizations, doing some kind of meetups that or events where I can help people. Or another idea that I had is, and I learned this in this dinner party, I can actually go alone as an individual to the assembly and like I have 5 minutes to speak. So I was thinking maybe that's one thing that I can do. Start like as an individual, an independent, going there and talking and giving my ideas and trying to affect change. And just to finish this episode, a few ideas that are coming to my mind is that democracy requires extreme transparency, right? So, and I do know that sometimes, and I understand this from the building, right? There's some information that I would rather not share, not because I want to make it secret, but just because I know that by sharing this, there's a few people here that will always try to find something to pick on it, right? So, for instance, we need to spend $100 extra to fix something. And it's actually to fix something, and it's not me trying to steal the money. It's we need to do it and to fix something, and it's urgent, and let's make a decision. But if I would maybe tell, some of the people would be annoyed because they're like, ah, who told you that that's a priority? And they would make my life harder. But I think that's the price to pay for transparency, and it's crucial. Because without transparency, people will start losing their trust on me. They will start thinking that I'm hiding things. And I think it's the same with democracy. Everything should be super transparent. Like every spending, like if I wanted to understand why there's a problem with our health system, it should be super easy to understand. And at the same time, like the laws, the tax laws, they should be simple as well. Very easy to understand, very easy to follow, very, very transparent. So I've been having ideas on how to make this. And I think now, especially with AI, especially all of this kind of stuff, we could get all of this information, because all this information is here, is scattered, right? Like there's this ministry of something that posts on their Twitter, and then there's another one that posts on their official website. So gathering all of this information and showing this to people, allowing people to intervene as well, I think that would be very important. Like people that actually want to affect change, people that want to give their opinions, allowing them to have like direct access to the people in charge. I think that would be nice. Maybe through, of course, a platform or something like that. So all of these things, I think it's something that I want to build. I want to build this transparency, this like using my skills as an entrepreneur to help people connect more with power, with the ones in power, and to actually affect change. The ones that want, some people don't want to do that, or they don't have the time. That's completely fine. But I think we are also living in, and kind of shifting gears a bit, the idea of optimizing, of making more money is an interesting metric. And why do I say this? I say this because it does not have humans deciding things, right? Like the beauty of capitalism is that you say, okay, you need to make money. You need to be profitable. So let's say that I open a company, whatever, selling shoes. I start selling shoes. And people really need shoes because there are no shoes. So they start buying shoes for me. And I start, okay, awesome. So I'm making tons of money. I can sell each pair of shoes for $1,000 because people really need it. But then others will see me doing that. It's like, wait, maybe I can. This guy has a waiting line of like days and months. Maybe I can also open my shoe shop. So she also opens her shoe shop. And now we are splitting, right? And this like automatically makes so that the demand is fulfilled, and there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 shoe shops, and we are all selling shoes. And eventually what will happen is that there's already too many shoe shops, and some shoe shops are not able to make money, and like the market balances itself, like without any type of humans controlling it, right? The human just follow this metric, and that's beautiful for me. But then there's a huge problem, which is this method allows humans, or by just following this, by just following the money, to exploit certain problems. For instance, nowadays with shorts, with social media, right? Short social media, where the goal is to get the most retention, to make the most money, obviously. This will basically make this shitty content, this brain rot content, that just simply works. It's not the, and it's interesting because it's not the best content in terms of quality, far from it, but it's the content that makes the most money. Same thing with climate change, for instance, right? Like pollution is a byproduct of making money, but it's something that we cannot control. And how do we control this these days is with taxes, right? So we have governments that control this capitalist metric by applying certain taxes in certain areas. But what I don't like about this is that it brings humans in the game, and humans can be corrupted, can just simply make wrong ideas and make wrong decisions, or might not be capable enough. So I'm one of the things that I also think, and I do understand that I'm kind of getting out of the topic here, but I think it's a thought that I would like to share. I start to think, and I think about this a lot of times, like, is there like capitalism 2.0, like a better metric, a metric that is able to have the good things about capitalism, but as well to eliminate the bad things, these byproducts? And one of the ideas, and I'll leave you with that, is that in social media, we have it, right? It's the algorithm. The algorithm decides what people make, what type of content people make, right? And I know that the algorithm is a proxy of money because the idea is to make more money, but it's interesting because the algorithm is something much more complex than just follow the money, right? You have a lot of metrics and you can tweak those, right? It wouldn't be that hard for a social media to say, no, now what you need to do, like the content that is good is content that is well thought, well researched, that is not fake. This is more important. And if those metrics would be in the algorithm, then this content would be shown to more people and more people would see it. And it would grow. And this type of content creators would grow instead of the others that create the brain rot. So I think about this. Imagine a social media network where people, like the people that use it, could vote in the algorithm. Where you could tweak the algorithm and then once it's applied by this, you know, machine. And the next step would be, can you do the same in a society where you're voting, you're already voting the laws and stuff like that, right? You'd give control to people to vote on each law. And once the law gets into this algorithm, is managed. And these days, I think we are going towards this world where like AI and stuff like that, this algorithm can manage or itself or the systems can manage these algorithms. It doesn't need to be going through humans all the time. So imagine a world where the algorithm, instead of just being making more money, it would be something more complex that would be voted by the people and then eventually controlled and make sure it was, you know, properly working. There will be like a machine that would actually follow that. I don't know. Maybe that's the future. Maybe that's the future of democracy. Maybe that's the future of democracy. It's a merge with AI, with technology. And things would be better. I don't know. But yeah, I'm sorry if this episode was a bit different than what I normally do. But I don't know. I do like to sometimes shift things around. And these are some thoughts that are coming to my mind. And are part as well of my life. And this is kind of a narrative of my life or my professional life. So if you have any thoughts on this, any ideas, if you tried yourself to be more active in your political sphere, I would love to hear that. So once again, feel free to shoot me a message at WBTiago or on LinkedIn. Both links will be in the show notes of this episode. And yeah, please like, if you're listening to this on YouTube, give a like, subscribe to the channel, to the YouTube channel, or follow on Spotify or Apple, and as well, giving a review, that would be awesome. So either leaving a comment or a review on Spotify, 5 stars, it's very simple to do it, you can do it right now, and it will help this show grow, and I would be really, really happy. Thank you very much, have a lovely week. And I'll see you next Monday. Bye-bye.